Can we clips much higher?
Oh, wow.
Coming in with the pipes. What's up, Clips fans? It's your dude, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
Did you like that?
That was great.
Man, I'm riding high. Despite a loss, feeling good about the Clips.
Good for you.
We got a game against the Pels tonight. So we're going to get into a preview of that game. We're going to kick things off with a little recap of Saturday's action against the Pistons. Really disappointing loss there.
Yes.
Another situation where we kind of just lost in the first quarter and then just lost the game.
We couldn't get over the canard hump, as I like to call it. Can't get past Luke.
And then today is Monday, so we've got our regular segment, the Freshies, for you.
Fresh.
We're going to be talking about just some Clippers talk, some first-year guys. Toss some stuff in there. There's some trade kind of chatter maybe about throwing Robinson in for maybe a deal for Vooch. So we'll kind of unpack that. And yeah, we're going to have a great episode. So all kinds of stuff coming up for you right about now.
Also, oh man, good to be back. Thanks for holding it down on Friday, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was indisposed, moving.
I think people said pot of the year.
Probably. I got a lot of texts from people I didn't know they had my number. And they were like, man, the pot was great today. Were you on it? I went, no. And they went, oh, awesome. Well, the pod was great. The game, not so great.
No, the game was not so good. I like was way off my prediction. I thought that we were going to comfortably win this by like 15 plus points.
Everybody did.
So yeah,
but I mean, it sucked ass. It was 109 to 104, which is a boring score line.
Yeah, that's a suck score.
Is this the worst loss of the season for us? Was it? I should say
it's definitely up there. To me, that opener against the Nuggets, we're like, we had that game fully in our grasp. So I think it's still the one that I'm reeling from. It's still why I doubt Denver's season.
I kind of give that one a pass because it was just game one.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
This one, I think this is funny. This is what an unencouraging loss feels like.
Yeah, definitely. Like, definitely.
This is really what a loss where you're like, there's not a lot of positives.
No, there's a few bright spots.
Yeah.
Aside from getting outscored by 13 in the first, we did win every quarter, which is, you know, but I mean, not nothing. We held them 19 in the fourth. Weren't able to close it out. We did shoot 50% from three, which is solid overall.
Oh, 49. We'll get into that 3% situation in a few minutes.
I mean, when you don't take a lot, you don't miss a lot.
Very true.
And overall, we went 49% from the floor, which is pretty solid. We, for once, won on the fast break.
What?
17-6, which is pretty solid.
Uh-huh.
We got outboarded, which you might have guessed. We, however, did outscore them in the paint 34-46. Which I was kind of surprised by.
Insane. I was listening to most of this game on the radio.
Yeah, you probably couldn't hear that on the radio.
I couldn't hear all those paint buckets. Yeah, just some stats for you guys. Blake Griffin had 44, 8, and 5. Drummond had 20 and 21.
Okay.
Pretty big days for those boys. For the Clippers, Gallo led us with 23. Lou had 22. And Trez had 21, 9, and 6. In one of his more complete games of the year.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, we really just got... I mean, Blake and Drummond just killed us.
Yeah.
And they shot unconsciously from three in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which didn't make any sense. We got out-rebounded 48-38. Tobias did have 11 boards, which was cool, but only 10 points.
No, you have that backwards. He had 10 boards, but only 11 points. Yeah, he didn't... He just, like... He only had, I think, like 9 shots.
In a 5-point game, it's like, dude, this is why we were going to maybe pay you a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Is to make it so we don't lose games like this.
And we still do. You know, I don't really see a scenario in which we let him walk.
Yeah. Unless I have this weird thing that the Knicks are just going to offer him the max and we're going to offer him something lower than the 144.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's getting the max out of us.
I don't think he should.
Oh.
Games like this and games where I think he leads the league in first quarter scoring or something like that. But he also kind of like leads the league in not doing anything after that.
That makes sense. Shea had a decent stat line, seven points, 4 boards, steal.
16 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is, we're going to talk about a little bit in the freshies, but his minutes keep getting cut.
Yeah. It's rough.
Big thing in this game, which was very frustrating looking at the box score, Blake went 13 or 14 from the free throw line. He had more free throw attempts than our starters combined.
Yeah, and according to stats.nba.com, our bench didn't take any free throws.
That blows my mind.
It does. It's absurd.
Even
even Trez shooting, I mean, four puts us a little closer in this game.
Lou shooting four, I mean, makes this a one-point game. Ty Wallace looked really good.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He looked great. 10 points on 4-for-5 shooting in 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Huge bright spot of effort right there.
Yeah. Really just balanced stat line, too. 10 points, 2 boards, 3 assists.
Yeah.
I mean, in you know, 13 minutes of playing time, I don't know what more you could really ask from him.
It's almost like maybe he should get, more minutes? I feel like I'm having a fever dream. We cut it close in the fourth.
Yeah.
Lou turned the ball over. He did get fouled in the process of trying to throw a pass to Gallo. He got fouled.
Yes.
And they turned the ball over. But at the same time, don't be in that position against the Pistons.
Definitely.
We can be mad at the refs all we want.
Yeah.
But don't be in this position against the Pistons.
100%.
Like, to get to the three-point situation. So we did shoot 50% from three, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We took 18 threes.
Which is not a good.
So the Pistons took 37.
Holy.
Which is, I mean, that's insane. Like, that's a lot of threes. Granted, they are 29th in the league in three-point percentage. So their 43% is an insane anomaly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely out of control. But even if they shot 25% from three, they would have scored more points from beyond the arc than we did.
Definitely.
So we're getting into this weird, we're very efficient on offense.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But now it feels like we were kind of talking about this. We're in that too cute realm of like, it's a 5-point loss to the Pistons. We shoot 18 threes.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Tobias went 2-for-2, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But take just.
And Gallo had a bad shooting night from three. He went 3-of-9.
3-of-9? Yeah, that sucks.
But yeah, he had over half the attempts for the, or not over, he had exactly half the attempts for the team. Yeah, and Mike Scott only played 3 minutes this game. We could have used some three-point shooting from him, even in a slump. Take six.
Dude, who cares? Like,
take six, you'll make one. We need,
yeah, I hope. And if you don't, we know it doesn't work anymore. Like, I mean, it's just kind of a... It was a very inconsistent performance from the Clippers.
Yeah.
It was there were times when I thought we were going to take control of the game.
Yeah.
And then we just, nothing ever materialized. We were getting stops late. And then I think there was a stretch where we went like 0 for 5 or something like that.
Yeah. We got this game pretty close in a couple times in the fourth. But other than that, man, we were trailing the whole game.
Yeah. We've looked a little discombobulated. We can't lose games when Trez and Lou combine for 43 points.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, that's kind of astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, but once again, the Tobias cushion wasn't there. Mm-hmm. We needed a lot more from Tobias. I thought that he'd kind of have a show-out game, too.
I thought he would, too. Old team?
Yeah, but...
Home crowd?
Didn't really happen. So.
He showed out on the boards. Bradley only got 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Definitely.
He went 1-of-3. The Clippers coaching staff describes Avery Bradley as unstattable. Meaning stats don't describe what he does.
Then what does?
Yeah, so if you don't believe in the stats.
which is fine. We're not even talking advanced stats.
No, we're talking not simple, talking VORP or WORM or whatever stat you want
really
to invent.
We're talking really simple stats. Like, let's talk box, boards, and assists. Like
points.
Yeah, we can even take out the scoring equation.
Yeah,
even take out the scoring equation for Avery Bradley. And he's still not delivering any of those.
Well, the other thing is, usually players who have this like, oh, you can't, you know, he has that fire. Beverly is a guy who I would say is an unstattable player.
Yeah.
He's a guy who you're like, oh, I'm seeing, this eye test shows me you're bringing something to the table every game.
Definitely.
Bradley's not a vocal leader.
No. He kind of disappears into the background a lot.
He disappears
like I would
the
say, and this game, you know, he did luckily only put up like 3 shots.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't know the value that he's providing.
Yeah, you nailed it. He's inconsistent with his intensity.
Mm-hmm.
He like that steal against Memphis that won us the game. I'm chalking that up to luck.
Yeah,
that's a lucky steal.
Yeah. Well, this isn't really a team that's like me. I mean, we've talked about this before, but not really a team that's generated to make a bunch of steals. We tend to be more conservative.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but then like, why do we need that guy? If, like, that's our plan.
Yeah. Like. There's just nothing he consistently brings to the table that's good. And Doc had the lamest answer ever when someone asked a very politely worded question that basically boiled down to, are you going to cut back Avery Bradley's minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And Doc had the quote, if you ask the other two guard on the other team if they want Avery off the floor, they'll say yes. That's his logic for leaving Bradley out there. A hypothetical situation.
Yeah, and I still just don't even know about that.
I don't believe that for a second. All that shows me, I tweeted this out, all that shows to me is that other teams understand what reverse psychology is.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
I mean, and like tonight against the Pills,
they could be a pill.
tonight against the Pills, let's ask Holiday. Do you care if Avery Bradley is on the floor?
Let's ask anybody. Let's ask Luke Kennard if he cares. Yeah, anyway, bit of a tough game. We got beat by two really good big guys.
Definitely, which is always going to be an issue for the squad. We know it's a glaring hole.
Luckily
we
tonight,
talk about it in every preview.
Luckily tonight, we only play Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Anything else
and Julius Randle and Nikola Mirotic.
Anything else you want to say about this game, or should we just leave this thing in the rearview?
I'm ready to get this thing out of my sights.
Let's get this thing out of here, guys. Coming up after this, we got a preview of tonight's barn burner against the Pels.
All right, so we're so far 1-1 against the Pels.
Good game so far, too.
Yeah, pretty sweet victory.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, pretty sweet victory back in December. Great. We had some great play on that one from Ty, who was super impactful.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up finishing in this road game with 8 points, 3 boards, and an assist. But he was just so active the whole time. See, now this would be a stat line that if Doc wanted to defend why he was getting more minutes, and he was like, you know, he's unstatable. This one I would be inclined to believe.
Ty Wallace?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's still some stats.
Yeah, that's
you know,
the thing.
Like, it doesn't blow your mind away, but like if you watch the game, you would see he was active on every play. He was super impactful. And like, sure, yeah, maybe this isn't like a crazy stat line.
What was his line?
The stat line was, one more time, 8 points, 3 boards, and an assist.
Yeah, that's 8 points.
Yeah.
There are multiple games where Bradley puts up less than 4 points.
Yeah. Definitely.
In 30 minutes.
Yeah, in that victory, who played 30 minutes, ended up putting 15 points. So that was like a solid performance.
That's like all I want from him on a consistent basis. 12 to 15 points.
That was the first of like a long road trip, and Avery Bradley had a few games where it was looking like, you know, maybe we were wrong and he's not total garbage.
Yeah. And then he...
Haven't seen it since.
Still garbage. Yeah, so last time we played... The stats from the Pelicans were absurd. They lost this game. AD had 23 and 13. Randle had a career high 37. Jrue Holiday had 31 and 14 assists. This was without Mirotić. He is now back. So I think the game's going to be a little more interesting tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it just provides more spacing. And I'm curious to see. I actually like the second unit a little bit more in our favor if they have Randle going out with the starters and Mirotić coming off the bench.
Yeah, let's get into what we need to do to win. Why do you like that more?
I like it more just because it's just a better matchup for Harrell, I feel like, on that second unit.
For sure.
And like it just gives them a little bit less tools depth-wise to use. Whereas I feel like if our starters are facing a big three that's somehow... You know, well, I mean, I think, yeah, if Mirotić, Randle, and Anthony Davis are all playing minutes together, I don't really see us having an answer for that.
Yeah, that's a lot of trouble. That's a lot. That's good spacing.
Yeah.
That's good, a bully in Julius Randle.
Yeah. Solid defense, really.
Yeah.
I see it, and like the length, so much length would be really troublesome for us. So
for sure.
I'm hoping that, like, due to him coming back from injury, they're kind of staggering his minutes.
Yeah, he didn't play too many in their last game, but he looked, from what I read, apparently he looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
What do we need to do to win? We need to take more threes.
Yeah, that would be good.
let's just be a little more daring with it.
Yeah.
Like,
What would you like to see three-wise tonight? I mean, I'd like to see 27. I don't think that'll happen, but that's what I'd like to see.
What do we average, like 23?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I would love to see over 25.
Yeah.
Which, in 2019... is still not that many threes.
No, that would still
be
near the bottom, I'm pretty
sure.
The
Pistons higher than us in 3 points per game. Like
attempted. I mean, like we're still holding down that percentage.
Yeah, that percentage is great, but taking 18, who cares?
Yeah.
We just can't let... Our offense is kind of built to let other teams out-volume us.
Definitely.
Which is also frustrating to watch.
Yeah, defending out to the perimeter has been, I mean, another just big hole for this offense, and I mean, this defense, rather. Sorry. But yeah, it's really befuddling because, you know, we don't have really any interior defense to speak of.
Yeah.
And, like, we can't guard out to the perimeter.
In between.
So, yeah.
That's
yeah.
all that sweet.
We can guard. If you take a lot of long-range twos, you're going
dude,
down.
Dude, if you're taking elbow jumpers, yeah, good luck, buddy. and that has a lot to do. That defensive situation has a lot to do with, I think, still learning Kalamian's system and the, like, no switching versus switching thing. But our backdoor defense, as evidenced against the Pistons, was really bad. I'd like to see us pass the dang ball.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. And you know, you talk about us not attempting a whole lot of threes, and I think a big hole in that is obviously just the inability to create really good quality looks.
For sure.
You know, when we say take more threes, I don't mean I just want them to throw up a bunch of contested jumpers. Like, let's generate looks.
Yeah.
Which has been a real issue, and will always be an issue on the second unit. We don't have enough shooting. We don't have the right facilitators. But, like, for this starting unit, I mean, you have two 40% three-point shooters who are large. I just don't see why we can't be chucking up more.
Yeah, it's going to be I think we're going to be pretty dependent on Lou this game.
Yeah.
Which could go bad, but who knows. The Tobio cushion is going to be key tonight.
Yeah, so I mean, this matchup has actually been really good for our starting forwards. Yeah. They've combined for 50 in each of these two outings.
That's what's up.
So I don't expect that to necessarily be an issue. It might be a little bit more difficult in minutes where Mirotić is staggered out there just because of his length.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not like a great defender or anything, but like he'll get a hand in the face. He'll be
he's kind of like Gallo in that sense.
Yeah. He'll put effort out
for sure.
So I don't know. I think that, I mean, obviously it's going to be key to winning, but I don't see them not being able to show up tonight, barring something weird happening.
Yeah. Trez can only do so much off the bench against AD.
Oh, yeah.
Motley got called up again. He's not ready for that assignment at all and would get absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see him tonight.
I mean, if Randall and Davis are playing in the starting unit, he has a little bit better chance, I guess.
Yeah, to get some hashtag more Motley. Let's get into what could go wrong.
I mean, what couldn't go wrong?
They got AD.
They have AD.
He could go for like 40 and 20.
Definitely.
Like, straight up.
Yeah. I think they could crush us in fast break, and I know that this is like a cliche that I always say, but even in our win last time, they outscored us 19-5 on the fast break.
Yeah, and the win was like a 4-point win, right?
It was a 3-point win.
Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be tough. And if Jrue Holiday's feeling it, he's one of the better passers in the league. When he really starts to get into that gear,
he can be a solid facilitator. He also like has quietly large numbers, which I think is going to be troublesome. In our last outing, he ended up finishing with, let me see. I remember him having a really solid game. So last time he finished with 32 points, 14 assists, and 4 steals.
That's an insane stat line.
Yeah.
If he played anywhere else,
only a
other
single
than,
turnover.
If he played anywhere else other than New Orleans, it would be a big deal.
Oh yeah, totally.
And this goes into the next point. They're third in assists in the league.
Yeah.
So Mirotić is back. He's, I think, probably going to be on the second unit. So it could be kind of a dogfight for our bench if their ball movement's really feeling it. Because our bench defense, Trez is a good effort guy. That's awesome.
Uh huh.
Lose a liability on defense.
Totally.
Just by nature of his play, this isn't like I'm not saying we should
and
not play him
and
or
everything.
Anything. Yeah. Like. Beverly, I hope he's really locked in.
Definitely.
That's going to be huge. And then it's that question of, like, do we play Mike Scott?
I mean, obviously.
Like, yeah, he's just been so bad.
Yeah, he's not had an easy go lately, but we need him on that second unit. He's a big body, and I don't know, man. If he takes more threes, even in this slump, he'll make a couple.
Yeah. All right, let's go to some matchups. Defense versus defense.
Yeah. So both of these teams rank in the bottom 10. Yeah,
bad.
Defensively. I think that this is going to end up being like a firefight.
For sure.
I think that if we're able to like score at a high percentage like we normally are, maybe we see an uptick in three-point attempts.
That'd be tight.
Then I see this as a pretty winnable game.
This is a game. I see it as winnable too, but it's also, I'm like, it's kind of tough to call.
Definitely very tough to call. And the Pelicans, they've gone 500 over their last 10 games. And they're on a bit of an uptick. You know, they're going to be, I think they're going to claw at us with everything they got. They're 2.5 games out of the eighth spot.
Damn. Yeah. And they have no reason to not go as hard as they possibly can. They have a day off.
Yeah. And they have an insanely hard stretch of games coming up. Oof.
Yeah. Gallo's effort on Randall's going to have to be big. He guarded him for the most part last time, which resulted in Julius Randle shooting 50% against him.
Yeah.
We just need a big effort to slow like one of their four or fives down.
Definitely.
If we, I think we kind of let AD go off. We're not stopping AD.
Yeah.
I think we maybe kind of let AD go off and just try and clamp down on everyone else.
I mean, I think that's a solid strategy. One person can't score all the points.
Yeah. Unless you're Avery Bradley.
bench versus bench is going to be huge. We've talked about this a little bit, but with Mirotić, their bench is going to be a little bit more potent. They're not that deep of a team, especially when they're not getting stuff out of guys like Tim Frazier or Solomon Hill, which those guys can have pretty bad nights.
Yeah, last time we played, they ran an 8-man rotation.
Yeah.
Which is pretty astonishing.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have like fresher legs in that sense, but the bench, yeah, needs to continue to be dominant.
Those non-AD minutes are going to be clutch. We haven't done a good job of winning non-star minutes lately, which has been kind of frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
Tobias versus Holiday. So this was interesting. Last game, Holiday guarded Tobias for most of it.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, which was great for us. Tobias went 5-for-8 for 11 points to help him get to 27. It'd be awesome if they didn't make an adjustment and they kept Holiday on Tobias. But given how bad the Detroit game went, which I think he understands, I think he's disappointed with himself of not playing better.
Definitely.
I think, like you were saying earlier, I think we could see maybe a bit of a bounce back game from Tobias.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope so.
I'd love to see like 25.
Yeah. That'd be tight. They're going to have to be firing on all cylinders. Basically, I mean, their starters are probably going to outscore our starters by 20 plus points.
Yeah.
And like the difference is going to be how big of a lead our bench can establish.
Yeah.
You know, like even if we get the best games out of Gallo and Toby,
we're still
looking at a pretty
Gortat and Bradley.
Yeah. We're still looking at like a pretty steep deficit.
Yeah.
When, you know, three of our other starters average below 10 a game.
Ugh. I like this lineup idea you have in here.
Yeah, so one lineup that's had a decent amount of minutes in these two outings has been Lou Will combined with Avery Bradley, and then Tobias, Gallo, and Harrell at the five. And it's been pretty successful. We've seen it about six minutes in each game, and this lineup averages something like 3 points a minute almost. Like, it's really pretty solid.
Yeah.
And it's had the highest, it's some of the highest plus minuses of any five-man lineup these past two games. So I imagine they'll run some variation of this. I think maybe if Bradley's still eating up a ton of first-team minutes, it might be Williams-Beverly, but still the front court three of Toby, Gallo, and Harrell.
Yeah, I love that three. That's a borderline meatball lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's your prediction for this game?
Mine is actually like really pretty close to yours. I think that we're gonna take this one. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be something like 122-116.
Yeah, I said 126-120 Clippers. I almost wanted to put like 130 just because like
yeah,
both these teams seem like they're really trying to get a dub tonight, which is nice.
Definitely.
Let us know what you think is gonna happen. I had a couple people say, I asked, are we gonna get past the Pels? And someone just said no. With no other insight. So maybe provide a little more discussion than that if you want to comment on it.
Yeah, that's just a downer note.
Yeah, it's not having a good day, that guy. Coming up after this, we got some freshies, a little bit of Clips talk.
So Shea's getting minutes cut.
God damn, that's annoying.
What are we going to do with this? He's been playing less minutes, and like as a result, his scoring efficiency has gone down.
Yep.
He was at like almost 10.5 average for the season. Now that number's down to about 9.9. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but I think that like that number of not being in double digits has got to rattle your confidence as a kid.
Absolutely, and especially in the Detroit game, he got benched for mistakes, which, you know, mistakes happen. But then I feel like Doc is so hard on him.
Yeah.
He yells at him, and he's like, I yelled at him because I know he can take it. I'm like, dude, he's still 19 or like whatever he is. Like, don't punish him by putting him down to the second unit. Don't punish him by just like taking his minutes away.
I agree. And at this point, I mean, I mean, I can't. We can't take him out of the starting lineup is the thing.
No, that,
you know,
yeah,
we just know how the other starting lineup works with Beverly and Bradley in the front in the backcourt, and it just it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
So I don't see that as an option at this point. As I've said, you know, like if it's not going to be if he doesn't feel comfortable having him in minutes against the starters, then have him play more second team minutes. And I'm saying he still gets the start
for sure.
But like, yeah, maybe he just plays.
First 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, and then maybe 10 or 15 of his minutes come with that second unit. He just doesn't look as confident as he once did, and I think that that is such a huge bummer.
For sure, and it makes sense. You're getting yelled at. And then a lot of people on Clippers Twitter have been kind of like, it seems like we're going to go back to that Beverly-Bradley starting lineup at some point. If this trend continues.
I
don't want it.
I don't know that that'll happen.
I hope not.
But I mean, I guess time will tell. The thing is there's just not like a lot of tools for a team that has so many guards. We somehow just like don't have enough tools in the backcourt.
Yeah, it's a very weird problem. Should we talk about this Ringer trade idea?
Yeah. So in case you guys didn't know, Jerome Robinson hasn't really been playing big minutes, and he was floated around as a idea in a trade for Vooch.
Yeah. Run this trade back. What was it? Jerome.
I believe it was like some combination of like Jerome, Avery Bradley,
Gortat.
I don't know if Gortat was in there just because of salary issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you? I mean, I don't think that we're ready to trade Jerome yet.
I don't think we're either because his season's just been kind of a question mark. It's just been like it's not a lost season. It's just like a not applicable.
Yeah. So I guess like even more important than like these trade rumors. Do you think that they ever intended Jerome Robinson to play minutes outside, like significant minutes outside of the Agua Caliente Clippers?
Significant? No. I think it was going to be like a Motley situation.
Yeah.
Where like I think he was going to be more consistently up than Motley.
Uh-huh.
And maybe get a little more playing time, but I don't think he was ever going to get more than 12 a game.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just wonder if that injury hadn't happened. I mean, does he keep a place in the rotation, do you think?
Next year?
No, this year.
Oh. I don't know. If we're winning, yeah.
Yeah, I still want to say probably not.
For sure.
But yeah, I just don't see him like really being entertained in any sort of trade ideas. I don't see us trading anybody that Jerry West has like kind of given the seal of approval on.
Absolutely. And there's also like it'd be a pretty risky trade whoever traded for him as well.
Yeah.
Because it was seen as a risky pick and he hasn't really played. And then, like, as a GM, it'd be like, okay.
Yeah, his numbers are solid, though.
For sure.
And, like, the eye test has been good. He just has, you know, had a real limited role.
What you're saying is he's unstattable.
Definitely unstattable.
Want to give a shout-out to our guy Ralph Lawler.
Oh, yeah.
He was named the 2018 California Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Media Association, a man who has spent 40 years calling over 3,100 Clippers games. Good for you, Ralph. We got a couple minutes left. Want to give some fans want us to tank.
Which is mind-blowing to me.
We're halfway through the season. We're the fifth seed.
Yeah.
Justin Russo had a great tweet. What is it? If we go 21-19, we get to 45 wins.
Pretty solid.
Very solid. Not hard to do.
No, I definitely see that as a possibility.
And that means if we go 500, we get 44 wins.
Pretty
Which
good.
Is great.
Yeah, it's still pretty good. Yeah, I'm not really sure where this is coming from. I think that, obviously,
it's frustration, and it's just like, you can be frustrated, but like that would completely alter the entire season plan.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't see that as being helpful for, even that helpful for us.
No, it's just, I don't know. That about wraps it up for us.
Yeah, thanks so much for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Pelicans. We're going to be checking out some stuff on Twitter, maybe doing a live stream.
Yeah, we'll probably be live.
And yeah, thanks for listening. Again, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes.
It's major, guys. Please.
It's major. We're doing this Monday through Friday. If you're new to the pod, welcome. Happy to have you.
Yeah, I've been William the Opinion Uptake.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you later.